Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Capital Confidential podcast. This is Brendan Lyons, managing editor for the Times Union overseeing the Capital Bureau. Today, I'll be joined by two members of our Capital Bureau, Mandy Fries and Ed McKinley. And later in the broadcast, we will hear from Assembly members Will Barclay and John McDonald about their take on the nursing home controversy that has engulfed New York. Ed and Mandy and our Capital Bureau have been all over the story of the Cuomo administration's response to the nursing home crisis, the now we know a pending federal criminal investigation of that, and the legislature's unrest with what has happened to them as they were brushed aside, they learned recently. And Mandy, why don't you set the stage for us on that? What unfolded last week that sort of set this on fire a little bit?
Yeah, there was a lot of things that went down last week. This was, I believe, a week after the Attorney General released her report on nursing homes that found underreporting of nursing home deaths due to COVID by as much as 50%. So it was coming off of that. And then there was the court case that a judge decided upon specifically with regard to Empire Center for Public Policy, had requested the nursing home death data and some other specific statistics and had not received a response, took them to court, and the judge ruled in their favor for transparency, ordering the Cuomo administration to turn over that information.
And finding that they essentially violated the provisions of the Freedom of Information Law, which—
Correct.
Yeah, not a shock to many of us who have been on the waiting end of a FOIL request with this administration.
Certainly not, but I want to say this is probably one of the few times we've heard a court rule in favor of providing answers to FOIL requests when it comes to the Cuomo administration. So I think that was pretty huge. The other item,
that secret meeting, Ed.
A secret meeting, that's right. That was at the tail end of last week, which is something I was not involved with, but saw unfold, you know, on the sidelines here. And it's just kind of been the gift that keeps on giving ever since.
Yeah, I think these days it must feel a little bit like the sky is falling if you're working on the communications team for the governor. He released the full transcript of the meeting from last week. And the meeting from last week was held with Democratic Assembly and Senate chairs of the various committees that had to do with nursing homes. And the purpose of the meeting was to answer these 17 questions that they had asked back in August. So here we are, you know, 6 months later, and they're getting around to answering it, which the Democrats brought up in the meeting. But the meeting, there was a comment that Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, made that the reason it took them so long to answer these questions was because Trump ordered an investigation by his Department of Justice into Cuomo. So we froze. We just froze. We were afraid that this was going to be used as a political football. We were concerned that it was going to be taken out of context. So we paused and we didn't answer the questions from our colleagues over in the legislature. So that section of the meeting was a big story from the New York Post. And that really reframed the whole conversation, I would say. And I will note there's one interesting nugget in there about the AG's report, which is that Attorney General Letitia James only gave the Cuomo administration about an hour's heads up before releasing this report that brought this issue to a whole new level and said that, you know, they had undercounted by as much as half.
We knew when that report came out that the Attorney General had not shared it with the administration because the embargo included a directive that reporters not contact the governor's office, who often likes to fight back on reports such as this, edit as much as they can, and we didn't see that. The other thing is these participants in that meeting, all Democratic chairs mostly, of the very committees with the authority to subpoena the administration. And it was interesting that this was a partisan meeting rather than a meeting with you know, the ranking members included, or, you know, even the majority or the minority leaders in those houses too. So that was a major blow to Melissa DeRosa and the governor, who then tried to walk back and explain this, but it fell short of an apology, right?
Yeah. So I would add, you know, so obviously we've seen a lot of fallout from this, and now there's renewed calls for investigation and for subpoenas. The Democrats are going to hold a vote. It was reported last night on repealing Cuomo's emergency powers that he's held since last spring. And of all this fallout, you know, I think it's interesting to place in the context of, this is a governor that, I wrote about this in the fall, is like uniquely viewed as powerful and sort of controlled everything in the state. And now we're seeing the attorney general drop this big report without giving him a heads up. And the Republicans are attacking him in a much more personal way than they were in the past. And now even the Democrats in the legislature are starting to buck him a little bit. And it really feels like he's losing the reins a little bit.
Ed, tell me a little bit about your encounter with the U.S. Senate majority leaders, newly appointed U.S. Senate majority leaders' first visit to Albany since becoming that role. And tell me about when reporters who were there, not so much to cover his restaurant aid proposal, but to ask him about the Cuomo situation. What happened when people tried to ask him about that?
Yeah, so typically when Chuck Schumer or Kirsten Gillibrand will be visiting New York, they'll be having, you know, their pet policy of the day that they want to talk about, and they'll give a few speeches, and then they'll say, okay, I'll take questions on this. And then people ask a few questions on that, and then they'll say, okay, now we'll open the floor to other questions. And as reporters, we're not bound to follow, you know, we'll only ask questions about this. So they just sort of do it as a courtesy. So we're all waiting at this event, and he's talking about restaurants, and there's a bunch of reporters from the LCA. Like, it's very clear that people are there because they want to ask about this unfolding nursing home scandal. And he wraps up and he says, you know, any questions about my restaurant policy, any on-topic questions? And there's one person who has a couple questions, but everyone's kind of quiet. He's like, any other questions? Any other questions? Okay, great. And he turns on his heel and walks out the back door of the restaurant through the kitchen into a waiting car in the parking lot and speeds off as reporters walk out the door to try to catch him. So truly, it was obvious to absolutely everyone in the room that the last thing in the world he wanted to do was answer questions about Cuomo nursing home.
Yeah, and he got called out on it not long ago. Nick Langworthy, the state GOP chair, held a news conference in front of his office, his Albany office, Schumer's Albany office, and initially the press conference was going to be that Schumer demand a federal investigation of the Cuomo administration's nursing homes, but it turned out that pivoted to he wanted Schumer to come out from hiding and comment on this, which clearly the Senate Majority Leader is not comfortable doing.
And it's worth noting that some of the Republican, Schumer's Republican colleagues in the Senate are calling for investigations. A bunch of the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee sent a letter last night demanding investigations into Cuomo. This is very quickly becoming, you know, a national story and something that Republicans across the country are weighing in on and calling for investigations into.
Michigan lawmakers have reached out to their Republican colleagues in Albany to ask them how it came that the attorney general did that nursing home report. Michigan is looking for the same thing to be done there. And it's certainly a national story. And of course, we got to break a little scoop last night with the news that the Eastern District U.S. Attorney in Brooklyn has launched an investigation using the FBI's New York division of the Cuomo administration. What remains to be seen now is whether that will be a full-out investigation or just a checking of the boxes to clear the governor's actions on this and move on. We'll have to see.
Obviously, our player coach, editor, reporter, Brendan Lyons, like Bill Russell, is reporting that story out. But it was interesting that the governor's spokesman, Richard Azzopardi, in that story says, you know, we've known for months that DOJ was investigating us. Melissa DeRosa said last week in the call that the DOJ investigation had concluded. So for Rich to be equating this DOJ inquiry with the FBI investigating the governor's administration, that seems, you know, just at face value to be untrue.
Yeah, I had a funny text from Rich. I had sent an email when we were about to publish a story last night for comment on the investigation, which I don't know that the administration was aware of the Eastern District investigation. I have doubts that they were, but if they received subpoenas, which they may have, and it appears they did, they probably were aware. But it was a funny thing when I asked them about the investigation and whether any members of the administration had been interviewed and had they received any subpoenas. He responded in a text to me that I needed to start including subject matters in my emails. Okay, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
If you're enjoying Capital Confidential, be sure to check out its sister podcast, The Eagle. I'm Jessica Marshall. Join me each week as we take a look inside the newsroom at the Times Union, the Capital Region's oldest and largest newspaper. We'll discuss the week's top stories, and we'll talk to the award-winning reporters who write them. Listen at timesunion.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Capital Confidential Podcast. Joining us today on the Capital Confidential Podcast is William Barclay. He is the Assembly's Minority Leader. And Will, you have been in this position now for 13 months as Minority Leader, and it's been a little quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah. Can you believe it? I mean, I was elected last January. Had the bail reform issue that took a lot of time and then went from that right into the pandemic. And it seems like from that, it's been crazy. Yeah, it's been I didn't come in the way I thought I would have come in. And since that time, it hasn't been exactly what I anticipated it would be, but we all have a job to do and that's what I'm trying to do.
And so in the past 11 months, really, the issue has been the pandemic, and what stood out on that issue has been the state's policies and orders and executive orders and decision-making as they affected long-term care facilities and nursing homes. It has been a controversial issue. The governor issued an executive order in March that sort of set this on fire with forcing nursing homes to take COVID-19 patients if, as the Cuomo likes to say, if they could care for them safely. But when we talk to the families and the workers in these nursing facilities, that isn't really what was occurring. People were COVID positive, were on wings, you know, with rooms next to other people who were not COVID positive. Staff members would go from one room to the next. People would be on Zoom calls with their relatives and see people in the background not wearing masks, not wearing PPE. And the governor himself has said that PPE was, there was a shortage, a critical shortage for some of those gloves, gowns, masks. I'm not sure that's the case. I don't know. One story that we had written, it was somebody who gave me a copy of the inventory at the Gilderland warehouse where the stockpile is. And at the height of the pandemic, April, May, there were millions of unused masks. There were ventilators. There were gloves. I don't know that they were tapping their stockpile. And if they weren't, it's unclear why. But either way, tell me where you're at now in terms of, as you've watched this unfolded, you've seen the governor's people come under fire, and now they face what appears to be a criminal investigation, at least from the Eastern District in New York. And that's something I know that your conference has called for. It's now happening. But what else do you think needs to be done here or should be done?
Well, we've gone through a lot right there in that little bit, but let's start back. I mean, at the start of this pandemic, I think no one knew what to expect, you know, something none of us had been through. As a result, we granted the governor some extraordinary powers. In hindsight, I probably wouldn't have voted for it, but at the time I did, because again, we didn't know what to expect. It included money in there to help fight the pandemic, which I thought was important. And we didn't know if the legislature was going to be able to reconvene. If things really went south, maybe we could never have done it remotely or whatever. So at the time, it didn't seem unreasonable to grant these powers. I will mention to your listeners, though, we did try to put some guardrails on those powers at the time by offering a hostile amendment to at least have the governor report back to the legislature. But unfortunately, at that time, that was voted down. And so anyways, as it progressed, as you know, the governor made a number of executive orders, starting off with basically shutting down the whole state. And we were troubled by that because where I live and other places upstate had very low infection rates. And the question was, why are you shutting down the whole state when we really aren't having the issue? So that was really the first issue that I think raised everybody's gander up, and rightfully so, is what's going on with those executive powers and why is he doing that? And why not pull back a little bit? He did eventually after I think the pressure got pretty strong on him. But then you just go right down the line with other executive orders, whether it's canceling graduation, you know, we've had the curfew, we had the orange and red zones. It just seems some of these really are indoor dining. It troubles me because it seemed like a lot of them weren't necessarily based in science. And I've talked about the indoor dining. As you probably heard, the infection rate from indoor dining is very low. You tend not to get COVID, something like 1.2% of those contracting COVID for indoor dining. So it's very slow. So why did he continue on with that and doesn't seem to want to change the policy on that? So I think all this brought a lot of frustration with New Yorkers. It certainly brought a lot of frustration with the legislature. And then we finally get to, we've always known about the issue with the nursing homes. We always knew about the March 25th order, but we could never get any answers from the second floor on that or from the governor's office on it. And even when the commissioner of health testified, I think in August, he kind of poo-pooed it and didn't really address it and then just left after an hour or 45 minutes of testimony when people had a lot more questions about that. So ultimately, there was a lot of suspicion that something wasn't quite right here. And then when the governor's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, did mention in that private meeting last week that they were withholding that information because they're worried about a Department of Justice investigation, they're worried about the political fallout, I think that kind of just all of a sudden exploded this whole
thing. There had been a legislative subpoena for that record. This might be a different conversation right now, too, if they had withheld that, right?
Yeah, I'm very troubled by that. You know, when we started on these calls about taking the executive powers away, we talked about, you know, further investigation. We were got accused of being political. And granted, it was all Republicans doing it, but I think there's enough of a record here that not doing it, I could push that right back and say it's political not doing it. Why aren't you doing this? Are you trying to protect the governor who may be of the same party of yours? And so we've been lately, and now we're getting traction, fortunately, trying to reach out to our colleagues in a bipartisan way, saying we ought to have an investigation. There's no, this is wholly in the jurisdiction of the legislature. And I would point out, you know, we try to force hearings through the aging, health, and the government oversight committees. I mean, if this doesn't call for government oversight, if that isn't in the jurisdiction of that committee, I don't know what else is. And I'm still hopeful that maybe we can continue to apply pressure and get them to act to do it. And I think, you know, Brendan, putting aside the law enforcement investigation about criminality, that's important. And I think the legislature should also run in a tandem doing that. But I also think just getting answers for these 15,000 families of 15,000 people that died in nursing homes is a wholly legitimate thing for the legislature to be going through, putting aside any criminality. Just was that March 25th executive order, did that, it seems logical, did that increase, you know, fatalities in nursing homes? And then we can figure out what kind, you know, what we want to do for penalties or, you know, how to hold people accountable. But let's get to the bottom of that. And same thing with your point about the PPEs or anything like the whole, we need to obviously get back and look at how the government's handled the pandemic and where the mistakes were made and hold those who maybe were negligent, hold them responsible, but also make sure that this doesn't happen going forward. The same mistakes aren't made again.
I know that your conference is considering an impeachment commission to set that up. What are the offenses here that you see as potentially impeachable? Is it the stonewalling? Is it the actions of the health department or executive orders or a combination of the above?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think, I think it's the cover-up is what I think concerns us most. And was there an obstruction of justice? Was there some other crime out there? And again, we thought maybe we could get a hearing, you know, just with the assembly committees, but that seems to be not working. So we want to take it to the next level with some precedence. As you know, back in 1913, although it's a long time ago, they did something similar with the Frawley Commission that looked into apparently illegal activities by the governor at that time, Sulzer, I think was his name, or something similar to that. And that ended up actually being an impeachment. The political background of that's not so great. It was kind of a Tammany Hall fight, but at least there is a precedent. It does make sense to me. Why not do a joint legislative investigation and see what's uncovered. And look, maybe there won't be, there weren't crimes committed, and we can just say, fine, there weren't crimes committed, we can walk away. But if there are, again, I think maybe impeachment would be the proper next step.
Some people contend that this is just politics. The Republicans are seizing on this issue to make controversy where there's not any controversy. As the governor even said on Monday, there's no need for an investigation here. There's nothing to uncover. I think by that point, since they have received subpoenas, that they already possibly knew that the Eastern District was looking at this and probably hoped that it didn't come out. But what do you say to that when people say, oh, this is just politics? Because there's also some Democrats, I believe, who are very upset by some of this.
Yeah, I guess the good news is it has become more bipartisan than maybe when we started, when you could point and say, well, this is all Republicans. Now, you know, you had Ron Kim and other members of the assembly in the memo they sent around seeking their colleague support to take away the governor's powers. They put right in that memo, they even cited a U.S. statute about obstruction of justice and saying this raises to the level. You know, it's one thing just to throw a bomb, which I know both parties do, and it can be toxic at times, of just doing something without any substance to saying, you know, we ought to impeach because we don't like him and he stands for different policies we stand for. But I think there's enough here on the record that's known publicly, particularly with the transcript from Melissa DeRosa, that certainly when you have your top aide saying they withheld, we froze and withheld information. I mean, if that doesn't send alarm bells, I don't know what else does. And clearly it's not just us, because the Southern District or the Eastern District of New York is now investigating. And they can't say it's a, you know, I think the governor had said something to the effect, well, this is just a Trump witch hunt, but obviously Trump's no longer in office. It's a Biden Department of Justice doing this now. So it's not just Republicans calling for this now. Apparently it's Democrats also.
To that end, to that meeting that took place with, you know, if you look at some of the attendees of that meeting, there were members of committees, there were leaders of committees, the people, the very people who could issue those subpoenas and could call on the governor. Should that have been a bipartisan meeting? Should there have been, you know, minority leaders such as yourself in that meeting?
Yeah, I find that wholly offensive also. The fact that, first of all, they had the meeting, you had some attendees at the meeting saying, you know, we're tired of defending you or taking political flack for trying to stick up for you. That doesn't seem like the meeting was trying to get to the bottom of, you know, not getting the nursing, why the, you know, second floor hasn't been delivering the nursing home fatality numbers to the legislators. Seems like it was almost circle the wagon type thing. And let's get our story straight. And, you know, the fact that they also, I think, is troublesome is the fact that the governor was calling different legislators and giving them words apparently not to use, like don't use cover up, don't, you know, don't mention it, scandal or whatever. I think that's problematic too. And I think that should fully be investigated also.
So what's next? What do you think will be, you know, the imminent step that happens at this point? Do you think you'll get support for that impeachment commission? I mean, it seems unlikely. You're in a chamber that is outgunned 2-1 pretty much by the Democrats. So, but do you think there will be enough support to make that happen, or is it unlikely?
Well, I'm an internal optimist, and I still have not given up on the fact that maybe the individual committees will investigate. But if not, we want to do this joint commission. We're sending a memo and a request for sponsorship to every member of the assembly and see if they sign on. And if they don't, their constituents, I think, have a right to ask them, why aren't they signing on to this thing? So ultimately, we just want to keep the pressure on. And it's not just about getting the governor or trying to, you know, benefit Republicans. I want to get back to, it's really because 15,000 fatalities happened in these nursing homes, more than 40 other states, complete total fatalities of COVID. So these numbers are large. You take it on a per capita basis on nursing home population versus fatalities in nursing homes, and New York is at the highest of the list. So I think ultimately people want answers. People want accountability. I want that. And I think it's the legislature's obligation to get to the bottom of it and provide that to those people.
Will Barclay, the Assembly Minority Leader for New York State, I thank you for joining us on Capital Confidential podcast, and good luck with your efforts out there.
All right. Thanks. Good talking to you.
So welcome back to the Capital Confidential podcast. I am joined now by Cohoes Assemblyman John McDonald, who is chair of the Assembly's Oversight Analysis and Investigations Committee, and you sit on other committees, including health, insurance, higher ed. And John, as a pharmacist and a family-owned business that's owned a pharmacist, I believe, for almost 90 years in the city of Cohoes, you have watched this pandemic unfold as both a lawmaker, a former mayor, and also a pharmacist who is now, I understand, administering doses of vaccines to people to help them get immunities. But this story recently, this issue of New York's nursing homes and the COVID pandemic in there has kind of taken on a life of its own. If we want to start there as a jumping off point, you were in a meeting last week where top aides to the governor met with key Democrats in the Assembly and in the Senate to explain the delay that they had in providing you with the information that had been sought since last August following a hearing at the legislature. It's been proffered by the governor's administration that their delay was necessary. They wanted to prioritize their response to the U.S. Justice Department, which was had requested similar information from them. And we've seen a lot of calls now for impeachment, for investigations. There's even a probe by the Eastern District of New York into this issue, it appears. What is it from your perspective, as you dealt with the administration, you seem to be a little bit more pragmatic about this in terms of getting that information and how it, can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, let's go back to the meeting of last week, because I think from my perspective, it's important because I was one of the few that was actually there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you read the transcript, and hopefully at some point they release the whole audio and the video of it, because it was Zoom, you know, there was actually, it was a vigorous discussion. It was frustration of all the members was pretty clearly evident in many aspects. I'm not satisfied with the delayed response by any stretch of imagination. Specifically, I got into discussion with Dr. Zucker about the process, because process is important. And we got into this, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, Brendan, but you know, the idea between HERDS data and SPARKS data, which one reports what time frame. And Dr. Zucker and I actually, you'll read about it, we went through this discussion about some of the barriers they were facing, of which, as the only one of the group that was in the meeting that actually utilizes that system, I actually understood it. And he wasn't off base by what he was describing in that perspective. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, we're frustrated. We want this information. We think that this is critical for us to determine next steps, whatever they may be. And, you know, the administration was also talking about the fact that they were painstakingly going through reviewing all the death certificates to make sure there was valid information. You know, now you can look at that one or two different ways. Some people will look at it as a stalling tactic. That's fine. I understand that. Some people will look at it as being deliberative and to make sure that it's accurate. I think that's something we should usually strive for in life. You know, it depends on your views in life on how you're going to look at this. I looked at it saying, okay, that's a reasonable explanation. I don't like hearing it. I also am not naive to the fact that the New York State Department of Health has been responding to a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, I hope, which has basically flattened out any resources they had. As you know, Brendan, many individuals, we only know the ones at the higher levels, but I know individuals that even the mid-levels have also left the department. People are fatigued, they're tired. And that does not help the process when you're trying to go through something that is important. It's important particularly to the families that lost a loved one.
So to that point, those thousands of families who lost loved ones in nursing homes, many of them feel as though something went wrong and mm-hmm. they want answers. And that those answers may not come from the Eastern District of New York, because criminal investigations, if that's what it is, often end with nothing being made public. If it turns out there is no charges filed, it's not as though the Eastern District is going to issue a deep report like the Attorney General did recently, calling into question the way in which the deaths were reported by the state. We can come back to that in a minute, but so why not if not now, when? When would the legislature have a greater moment to step up to form a bipartisan commission, as the Republicans are calling for, to look into some of this, to get to the truth? And the truth may be to reassure the public there was nothing that went wrong here. There was nothing nefarious. So why not do that?
My response to that is we've already started the process. The Republicans were, just like the Democrats, were very, very much involved back in August of last year in regards to the hearings. The hearings actually provided to be quite fruitful when you really take a step back from the politics of everything, because a lot of the Attorney General's report, not all of it, but a lot of it included testimony and evidence provided for the 3 full days of panels of speakers. This process is still underway. It has been hamstrung, there's no doubt about it, and slowed down because of the lack of the data on the accuracy of where nursing home residents have passed away. And it's been further complicated because of the fact that as we continue to request and wait for this data, the Attorney General's report came out, and probably within a couple hours, the Department of Health gave updated numbers that showed a 50% increase in that number from 10,000 to 15,000, rounding things off. So to the families, listen, I sympathize with them. I'm with them. I understand the frustration. I also, want to look at completeness. You know, there's an old expression out there about, before you turn the page, you got to read the page. We haven't read the page yet fully.
Well, Monday, the governor stated publicly that there's nothing to investigate. He doesn't believe there should be an outside investigation. There's nothing to clear up. And then 2 days later, the Times Union actually broke the story that the Eastern District of New York has launched an investigation. It involves a team that has been assigned to this case. It's unclear that this grew out of the civil division or whether this was something that was done independently of that. It could have been a tip. It could have been somebody in the health department saying, hey, here's some information that kicked this off. Were you startled by that? And does it give you pause to think maybe there is more that went on here that we're not aware about, whatever that may be? What's your reaction to that going to do this investigation?
I wasn't startled by it, to be honest with you. I actually kind of expected it. There's been a lot of voices out there speaking about the issue. It would be surprising for an agency at the federal level to ignore that. I think, if we need to, we should welcome the investigation. We want accountability. We want transparency. And, let that investigation, if that's what it's going to be, let it go forward. But same token, what's just as important is that if there is one, that whatever the outcome be, that it be available for the public to consume. Once again, I go back to the poor families that lost a loved one. They are writhing in agony. They want to know what happened. And, it's compounded, because of the fact that in many circumstances, it's bad enough to lose a loved one. But when you're holding their hand or by their bedside, it means something.
Why not give them a legislative hearing that does issue subpoenas, that does compel testimony, that gets to the truth, whatever that truth may be, to reassure them? Isn't that the legislature's job?
We've already started that process back in the fall. Those stories are what propelled us to continue to go forward to request more information. We're still waiting to get that information. I think we're on the cusp of that information. And once we have that, we can review that and figure out what the next steps would be.
Okay.
And the doors are always open.
All right. Well, John McDonald, Assemblyman, thank you for joining us on the latest edition of the Capitol Confidential podcast, and good luck with your efforts out there.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you for listening to the Capitol Confidential podcast. And please remember to subscribe to the Times Union and visit the Capitol Confidential blog on timesunion.com.
Capitol Confidential is a production of the Times Union. Jessica Marshall is our producer, with support from the Times Union digital team and the Capitol Bureau. Our music is Goodwill, courtesy of David Lombardo.